I got a recipe holding me. I know the secret to making a dream come true, no apology. Stand tall like a prodigy, sincere honesty. Channel my vision, aim for the moon and reach for the prophecy.
Welcome to the Brexit Leagues podcast. I am Sungurai Taramba, and as always, joined by my EFL expert, Ethan Oliver. Hello, Ethan.
Hello.
Yo. Now, we're going to talk more about Burnley getting more momentum on their way to that championship title, that 1-0 victory over Luton. We've got more on that. We've got to talk about VAR. It's really bad. We've also got to talk about Arsenal beating Aston Villa and Manchester City dropping points again in the title race after momentum looked like it was going in their favour. So that's all to come, as well as us, talking about who should leave clubs in terms of the Premier League clubs. So that is all going to be interesting. Sorry, I got my words muddled up there. All right, let's get to it. Premier League, what are your thoughts on this weekend's games?
So I think we'll start from Arsenal Aston Villa, shall we? Obviously, Aston Villa started well. Went 2-1 up at half time. Well, 2-1 up at half time. But Arsenal coming with two goals in additional time, obviously an own goal, which is quite a funny own goal actually, came in off Martinez's head. And Martinelli with a 9th plus 8th to seal it.
He was outstanding. I mean, Arsenal were brilliant in the end. But to be fair, it was a bit scrappy with Emi Martinez towards the end of that match. But I mean, Arsenal outlining their credentials again with that late victory over Aston Villa. Villa have now lost 3 games in a row. They had 3 chances to capitalise on Chelsea's poor form. We'll get to them in a second. But Aston Villa stay in 11th. Arsenal go back to the top of the table. Let's go to another game also. Nottingham Forest against Manchester City. Chris Wood scores late for Forest after, I think, was it Gundogan who put them in front or whoever it was?
It was Bernardo Silva.
Bernardo Silva, sorry. Yeah. What were your thoughts on that?
I think it is as big smash and grab draw as you get. Like, Forest were thoroughly dominated in that match and they managed to steal a point. But you got to pick up the points where you can. And if you can do that against Man City, then fair play. Like, obviously, Man City weren't very clinical. Wasn't there like that Haaland double miss in there?
Oh, goodness me. Reminded me of someone on my football team on Sunday.
Reminds me of Nunez.
Yeah. But I mean, Manchester City are still 2 points behind Arsenal. Played a game more than Arsenal, but Arsenal still got a game in hand to play. But we don't know when on earth they're going to play that. That's the problem. But I mean, Arsenal now back on top after what was a difficult week for them in the Premier League. So it seems like service is getting back to normal for the Gunners. Let's move on from there. Let's talk about Everton against Leeds. Now, it was a huge clash down towards the bottom end of the Premier League table. What were your thoughts on that?
I think it's quite an even game based on possession. Leeds didn't offer any threat attacking wise, really. Couldn't get a single shot on target. Everton. Sean Dyche is doing well running into there, and he's actually like changed it for the good. Obviously, Seamus Coleman, probably Everton like legend at this point.
Of course.
Scoring the one goal in that game. I think Everton deserved.
Oh, we've
did it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think they'll relegation scrap this year.
Yeah, I mean, from a Leeds perspective, we're hearing that Javi Gracia The former Watford manager, of course, is looking like the outstanding candidate to take over from Jesse Marsh. Marcus Scabala did a great job in both those games against United. He has fallen off the rails a little bit with that defeat to Everton because it might be damaging come the end of the season. But, I mean, Everton move out of the bottom three. They move up to 16th, in fact. And as a result, Leeds are 19th in the Premier League table. They've had the least number of wins this season as well. Let's not forget that, with only 4 from 23 games. On to the next one. Let's talk about Brighton against Fulham. Now, Brighton, I always say this, they don't take their chances. Fulham had only 5 shots in that game. Brighton had 21 shots, 7 on target. However, it feels like all like a familiar story. None of them went into the back of the net. Brighton 0, Fulham 1. What were your thoughts?
It's a classic Brighton game, really. can empathise with them because it makes me think of Coven away. But
yeah,
like it's a, as I say, it's a classic Brighton performance. So the Fulham pulling through like just like Forest with a smash and grab. Very clinical as always. Brighton the other end of the spectrum, really. They always need loads of opportunities to score. I think they're lacking that real, like, potent threat up front. They need someone up front who will score the goals.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, Brighton, let's not take away from the fact both teams are outstanding this season.
Sixth and seventh
in the Premier League. Fulham have got 38 points from 24 games. They're definitely in the Premier League next season. I called it from game one. As soon as I saw that performance against Liverpool, I was just like, this team can definitely stay in the Premier League this time round. They're 10 points better off than what they were in the whole of 2020-21, which was their last Premier League campaign. And I guarantee you they're going to be in the Premier League next season. They've got enough points.
I thought I was being a loon when I thought Fulham would get mid-table at the start of the season, but
yeah,
even better than that. And then I actually thought Brighton would get top six, to be fair. And I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but even though, you know, Fulham, we've known them to go up, down, up, down, up, down. I think if you compare Marco Silva to Scott Parker, Marco Silva's a proven manager in the Premier League. He's done it with Hull, Watford and Everton. Didn't quite work out for him at Hull, Watford or Everton. But, you know, what he did was he kept especially Everton and Watford in the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, Marco Silva, he's a good manager. I think he needs to be at a club with slightly... like not like too low expectation, too high, just someone like mid-table like Fulham, someone expectation like that, so he's got not too much pressure on him and he can just work with what he's got, and he's got a bit of money to like add the quality he wants. So like you look at it, Fulham's like the perfect fit for him, whereas Everton, it's the expectations are too high for what they are. They're sort of
I think so.
Newcastle used to be, and then obviously when he's at Hull,
didn't quite work out for him.
Well, were they?
No, not in that 16-17 season. Yeah,
I don't rate him. He's not that good of a manager. He's like not done very well at Bournemouth, has he? He didn't do well at Fulham. Like, yeah, he got into the Premier League, but you'd expect them to get to the Premier League, wouldn't you?
Yeah. With the
then
budget.
Obviously, yeah, he's in Belgium now with, who's he with in Belgium?
Club Brugge, yeah.
And like, he's already fallen out there as well. Like, he's not a good influence. He's sort of his personality doesn't like.
Yeah, he's only won one out of his 9 games in Bruges. He's only lost 2 of them, but he's drawn 6 of those 9 games. So it's not really got off to the start he was hoping, but maybe you never know. He might turn things around.
I don't think so. He's not very good.
Yeah. But you just never know what could happen in the next few weeks or so. We'll talk about sackings and stuff later, about Neil Critchley and stuff, when we get onto the championship part of the podcast. But let's get on to the next game. And we want to talk about this one, actually. Wolves 0, Bournemouth 1. What were your thoughts on that? Good win for Bournemouth, eh?
It is a good win for Bournemouth, I'd say. Again, you've seen it multiple times this week. Numerous smash and grabs. Like, Bournemouth have done exactly what Fulham have done. Wolves didn't obviously have as many shots as Brighton or anything, but they were dominant. Like, if you want to stay in the league, you've got to be clinical. And Wolves, like, ever since that Jimenez injury, they have not been the same. Like, neither has Jimenez. I think it's been really tough for them. They can't find that sort of player that can do what Jimenez used to do. And
Very true.
that's been the reason why they've fallen off so much, because they've still got quality in them. Like the likes of Ruben Neves, João Moutinho, Núñez, Pedro Neto,
Yeah.
like, and then Sarr in goal. Like, they've
Got
still
the
got that
quality.
quality in there. They're just lacking it, like the finishing touch.
I think so. I mean, Wolves do struggle in front of goal. They haven't scored enough goals. You know, I mentioned it when I was on BBC Radio West Midlands at the start of the season. I was voicing after I think that West Ham defeat, Wolves, I said they weren't scoring enough goals and it wasn't really good enough. But you know, Wolves have improved in recent weeks. Don't get me wrong, and they will stay in the Premier League, I believe. They definitely won't. They definitely will not be the team to go back to the Championship after 5 years in the Premier League. But I mean, Bournemouth, massive win for them. They hadn't won for a while. So to be fair, Gary O'Neill needed that because he was under a bit of pressure. But it might be a bit of a damaging one for Wolves, but I don't see it being too much damage for Lopetegui. Let's move on to the next one then. Chelsea against Southampton. Now, Chelsea were booed off at the final whistle, and Southampton's caretaker boss, Ruben Selles, masterminded an amazing win at the Bridge to pile more pressure on under fire Blues boss Graham Potter. What were your thoughts on that?
I've got some sympathy for Graham Potter here, because I actually don't think it's his fault at all. He can't figure out what his best team is, because Ted Bowley is just bringing in all these players, and he's got something like, I don't know, like 50 players to choose the starting 11 from. They can make about like three full starting 11s that are like good enough quality for what Chelsea want. And they've got like about 15 more just like around. So like you got to sympathize with him there, but like obviously the results haven't been good enough. As soon as he finds that team,
Yeah.
I think it will kick into gear. Obviously, I don't think he should be sacked, because he needs time to change it.
Yeah.
And obviously he knows who his star players are, but he doesn't know who the players that will fit around them are. Like, he still doesn't have that striker. And Chelsea have always had an issue with like their number nines anyways. So I think what he needs is, Ted Bowley needs to give Graham Potter the charge over transfers rather than signing anyone and everyone. And eventually it will, obviously, Southampton. It's a great win for them. Like,
Course.
obviously they were practically out of it, it seemed, before Nathan Jones is sacking, but they've picked up 3 points here, and now they're looking well and truly like they could potentially stay up. So all of the teams that are like around that relegation zone,
Yeah.
you wouldn't think any of them, maybe Bournemouth or something, would have gone down at the start of the season. Maybe Leeds as well, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but sorry, my brother's making noise in the background, for God's sake. But yeah, no, nah, listen. I mean, Southampton were brilliant. You know, brilliant free kick from Ward-Prowse. So he is the best in the world when it comes to free kicks, the dead ball specialist. But
Definitely, definitely.
yeah. But I mean, Chelsea, you know, 10th in the Premier League. In terms of the top four, they are 11 points outside it. 15 games they've got to play because they're on 23. But there's no real sign of Chelsea really improving, you know. They spent £600 million in what, 6 or 7 months. So it's not really, it hasn't materialized at all, because I think Gary Neville mentioned it at the start of the season, and he mentioned it like just before the World Cup. I think he said it's like Bowley's playing Football Manager. It's a bit, it's like when you play FIFA career mode in real life. Literally,
Yeah.
it's
He's got too
crazy.
many players in that squad.
It's crazy.
Well, too many. Like,
It's crazy,
is that saying
man.
you need squad depth, but like, you need probably like two starting 11s worth, not like three or four. It's just like, I get they're trying to build for the future. Like, they're signing loads of young talent, but they don't need to. Like,
Oh, of
what
course.
they need to do, maybe sign two or three young talents and then two or three players that are ready now. Not about like 20, like Forest have done, but Forest have been successful with it because they've signed players, but they've still kept about like half their old starting 11 in the team anyway. It's like they still do have that, they have that fixed lineup. Like, as soon as they like found that team that they was their main team, it started kicking into gear for them. Now I think that's what Chelsea needs to do, but because there's so many players at Chelsea, like, it's difficult to choose because they're all of similar quality. So
Of
I think
course.
they do need a mass clear out in the summer in order to.
That's for sure. Because, I mean,
In order to actually like be able to choose their team.
Chelsea have got too, they've got too many players. Way too many players.
Way too many.
Yeah, it's crazy. But anyway, let's move on to the next one. Brentford against Crystal Palace. Brentford won, Crystal Palace won. Brentford scored very late. It was a late goal from Vitaly Anelt in the 96th minute that got them the 3 points. Sorry, the 3 points that got them the points. Extends their unbeaten run in the Premier League to 11 games. They've not lost a Premier League game since their defeat to Aston Villa back in October. That was a 4-0 loss. So since then, they have not lost a Premier League game. What are your thoughts on them?
I think it's a very deserved point for Brentford and Crystal Palace. They both showed the qualities to win the match. I think Brentford, obviously, you've got to love a last minute equaliser. Like,
Course.
nothing gets a crowd going like that. Like, and obviously, Eze on the score sheet for Palace as well. He's been pretty much a revelation for them since he signed. Obviously, this point, like, it takes to take Brentford up in the league. No, like, keeps them in like ninth place. So like 4 points ahead of Chelsea. They're tied with Liverpool and Brighton. Still got Europe on their minds. Crystal Palace, another point, keeps them like 6 points out of the relegation zone. So they're relatively comfortable, mid-table. Yeah, it's point really.
Your internet's lagging a little bit, but we move. But yeah, I mean, Brentford have been outstanding again. Yeah, people think, you thought of what happened with Sheffield United a couple of seasons ago with the second season syndrome. You thought of what happened with Leeds almost last season, the same thing almost happened. Brentford have just continued building, Like I said, we had in a couple of episodes, we were talking about how Brentford were one of the best run clubs in the league. Them and Brighton set the, I think they set the benchmark for other clubs. And I mean, Brentford deserve to be where they are at the minute. We're ahead of Chelsea, so
Most definitely.
that's always good. Let's move on to the next game. Newcastle against Liverpool. It was the curse of Liverpool that struck Newcastle United again. We're going to talk about the cup final at the end of the program, but Newcastle nil, Liverpool 2. What were your thoughts on that? And does it reignite Liverpool's challenge for the top four?
I think the terrible result for Newcastle, obviously, their number one, Nick Pope, out for, I think, 3 games, is it? Like, including the final. So we'll see if Karius gets gives us a bit of reminiscence of the Champions League. It's not as big a competition by any means, but
Yeah.
any final is a final. I think Liverpool. Oh, I don't know if I don't think they'll get to top four. I think they will push more, but I still actually can't see them finishing in top six. They're too inconsistent. Yeah, I think for the red card, Pope's had a mare there. He's just fallen onto the ball and just like stopped it with his hand. It's like forgotten where he is. But the two Liverpool goals came before the red card.
Yeah.
And yeah, Nunez and Gakpo.
I mean, Newcastle, you know, they'd held their spot in the top four for like quite a while. You know, Tottenham have overtook them. We'll
It's
go on
only their
to,
second loss of the season, yeah.
yeah. And both of them have come against Liverpool.
Yeah.
But like Newcastle are still, you know, still overachieving. You know, even if they finish seventh in the Premier League, you can still say it was a good season because, you know, like people say Tottenham are going to finish in the top four because you know, they've maybe got the experience, but we'll talk more about top four predictions after. But let's move on to the last two games before we move on to predictions for this week. We'll start with Manu against Leicester. We beat Leicester 3-0. What were your thoughts on that?
I think very convincing result. Obviously, Rashford with two, he's continuing his form. And Jadon Sancho, ever since he's come back, he's been electric, isn't he? He's like,
Outstanding.
he's been a different player. He's like, he's basically come back like Rashford came back this season. Start of the season, like, it wasn't that great. And then obviously, he's had a break. He's had some time to like recover, like mentally, which I think is probably his issues.
Definitely.
And he's just come back and he's showing the player that he really is. Yeah, it's a good 3 points for Man United. Like obviously both teams had loads of shots and stuff. Leicester just were not clinical at all. I think and that is relegation fodder. Like that's not even biased either, I don't think. Like they are not very good at all. Even you've seen the games when he's not featured, they've struggled. It's like their creative spark in there.
Yeah.
I think obviously him and Tielemans will move on in the summer, and I think they will really struggle. They will really struggle. They will.
Yeah, it's not been the best of seasons for Leicester. I mean, when Leicester played United at the start of September, on the 1st of September, Leicester were bottom of the Premier League after that defeat. They have improved, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I think, you know, it's still a lot of work for them to do to make sure they're away from any immediate relegation trouble. But knowing Leicester, they should be okay. On to the next game then. Tottenham 2, West Ham 0. After Newcastle's obviously defeat on Saturday, Tottenham took full advantage and moved into the top four, whilst West Ham dropped into the bottom three, piling the pressure back onto David Moyes, who has a crucial game against Forest this weekend to save his job. What were your thoughts on that Tottenham 2 West Ham nil game?
I think it's a good result for Tottenham. I think West Ham, it's not a great result at all, but you don't really expect a result against Tottenham, especially at away. Yeah, you look at them stats, it's like West Ham, they didn't really do much, did they?
No, not really.
They kept a hold of the ball a little, obviously not as much as Tottenham, but they managed did nothing with it. Yeah, it's should be the squad.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I think they will still stay up, but it's not really damaging to lose a like a big side like Tottenham. Obviously, Tottenham with that win, they go back up into the top four. At the end of the season, probably not, but hey ho.
Yeah, so that was all interesting, to be fair. I mean, Spurs needed that after that humbling by Leicester last week. Before we move on to predictions, let's talk about top four and European places and who is going to get relegated. So let's start with your top four. Who are your top four going to be?
So, right. I think Arsenal's going to win the league.
Yeah.
And Man City in second, which, yeah. And then I think third place, I still fancy Newcastle to finish third. I
Ooh.
think Man United will finish fourth. And then just falling away from it is Tottenham and Brighton.
Okay.
And then obviously Liverpool to miss out and finish seventh, and then Fulham eighth. So, yeah, I've got Chelsea sitting in mid-table about 11th.
Yeah. Oh, that was hard. That was some harsh top four predictions. I mean, I'm going to go for, I want Arsenal to win the league. So it's going to be Arsenal, Manchester City, Man United, Tottenham. It's good. That's going to be, to me, that's going to be the top four. Newcastle, the winds have sort of dried up a lot recently. I think Newcastle, like I said about the experience, Tottenham have more experience in the Champions League. This is Newcastle's first go at it. You know,
Tottenham
it's
are like
only.
bottlers.
Yeah, I know they've lost Bentancur, but I think Spurs will just about have enough. But you never know, maybe Liverpool might be resurgent and do what they did 2 seasons ago. They could do it again, you never know. But in terms of the other European teams, I think fifth, Newcastle could, I think New Liverpool could finish fifth. They still could. But Newcastle will be sixth. But I can't choose between who takes the seventh spot, but it definitely will not be Chelsea. I can tell you that. It's either Fulham, Brighton, or Brentford. But I'm gonna say Brighton because just albeit because they've got 2 games in hand.
Yeah, I think them two games. Obviously, we got games in hand, and obviously, you still got to win them, but it's two, so they're going to pick up at least some points, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Your relegation, your three relegated teams to the championship are.
So, what I've gone with is bottom of the league, Southampton.
Yeah.
Second bottom Bournemouth and third bottom Leeds.
Southampton, Leeds, Bournemouth. I've been to all three of those places. Not all three of those. All three of those grounds. I've seen
Yeah.
Elland Road before. I've been to all three of those places, but I mean, my relegation teams, the three teams that I think are going to go down. I agree with the first two you said, Saints and Bournemouth. I probably am going to say Leeds actually, because Leeds are just in prop. Can I just pause 1 second? Sorry. Yeah, sorry to everyone listening. My dad just had to quickly ask me a question. But yes, I mean, I don't know. I think Southampton, Bournemouth, Leeds now. I think Everton, they're going to get away with it again. I think Dyche has brought some like calmness and stuff. So I think Dyche has
I
had a
think they'll finish
real
all the way up in
impact.
14th.
Yeah, I think so. You never know. But we've got like about 4 or 5 minutes left of this section. Let's move on to predictions. Let's start with Fulham against Wolves on Friday. What are your thoughts on that one? What's your prediction going to be?
2-1 Fulham.
Okay. Everton Aston Villa.
One one.
Yeah, that does look like a 1-1 game, to be fair. Leicester Arsenal.
Two nil Arsenal.
Okay. West Ham against Forest. It could be crucial for Moyes.
One nil West Ham.
Okay. Leeds against Southampton. Another big game down the bottom.
Nil-nil.
Okay. Onto the Saturday night footballs then. Bournemouth against Manchester City.
4-0 Man City.
Okay. Palace against Liverpool.
Too old.
To all, okay. Onto the early kickoff on Sunday. It's Spurs against Chelsea. What are your thoughts on that?
Two on Tottenham.
If I go through mine, I was going to say Fulham Wolves. Fulham look like favourites for this game, if I'm to be totally honest. I think it could be a 1-0 win, a cheeky 1-0 win. Everton Aston Villa. Villa will want to get back to winning ways. They're usually good against Everton. But I mean, it could be a 1-1 draw. I agree with that. Leicester Arsenal. Leicester will turn up, I think. They're at home. But Arsenal shouldn't underestimate this one. But Arsenal, I'm still going to go for them for the win. It's going to be a 2-1 Arsenal win. West Ham Forest. Forest, good point against City, but I still think it's going to be a 1-1 draw. Leeds Southampton, again, 2-2 draw. It'll be fiery, entertaining, exciting. Bournemouth against Manchester City, 3-0 City. Palace against Liverpool. Palace haven't won a game in 2023. Liverpool look a bit good, better. I think it'll be a 2-1 win, but Palace, I assure you, will turn up. Spurs against Chelsea. Chelsea just, even if they're at their worst, they still turn up against Tottenham. But I fancy Tottenham for a victory here. 2-0. That's a very brutal prediction. Very brutal indeed. But that rounds us off for the Premier League predictions. Join us after the break when we'll be talking about the Carabao Cup before we move on to the Sky Bet Championship. See you after this short break. Welcome back to the Brexit Leagues. It's time for part two. In this part, we're going to talk about the Carabao Cup final between Manchester United and Newcastle on Sunday, and we're going to preview it in full. Ethan, what are your thoughts? Who do you think is going to win this Carabao Cup final?
I think obviously Newcastle had that red card blow with Pope. And then Man United also got Sancho and Rashford on both wings, both in like
Good form.
intense form. So Newcastle stuck with probably Karius in goal, and we've seen what he's like in finals. Newcastle in slightly worse off form. Two wins, three draws, one loss last six games. Whereas Man United, four wins, two draws. See, being a very entertaining game. I don't see many goals still, but I think it could be back and forth. It'll be a 2-1 win to Man United, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think myself, to be honest with you, mate, but it's going to be an interesting game. We still shouldn't underestimate Newcastle, even though they're going to be without Nick Pope for the final. But you just never know. I mean, it's a final. It's whoever turns up on the day wins. I think of when I watched the Wigan Man City game 10 years ago in the FA Cup final. Look what happened. I know City had a red card in that game, but Ben Watson comes onto the scene, he bursts onto the scene, scores very late in the game, and gives Wigan a shock FA Cup win. But, like, it is a cup final. Both sides will be desperate to end long trophy droughts, especially Newcastle. But also, from Man United's point of view, we'll be looking to end our long trophy drought. I mean, you never know what could happen. It's a final at the end of the day, and that's all that matters. And it's going to be an interesting atmosphere in front of 90-odd thousand people at Wembley. It's whoever comes out on top wins to me. Anyway, I mean, Rashford's been outstanding. Sancho's been outstanding, and you do fancy them with a goal, but I always wonder, reckon, I wonder, sorry, whether Newcastle might have the advantage because they've got a whole week to prepare for this, whereas United, they've got 3 days because we've got a huge game against Barcelona on Thursday in the Europa League. But I don't know. I really don't know what the game's going to be like, but I think we're going to win it 2-1 as well. 2-1 as well. So that'll be live on Sky Sports 4:30. But anyway, let's move on to the Sky Bet Championship, and let's start by talking about two thrillers at the weekend. Let's start by talking about yesterday's game, and that was between Watford and West Brom. I watched it. It was a game of two halves, really. It was really intense, real thriller. You know, it was an outstanding game of football. What do you think about it?
I think it started quite slowly. Obviously, first half, one goal from Semmer, who's a very good player, I think, on his day.
Yeah.
Second half, the game really shifted into gear then, didn't it? Obviously, West Brom equalised, make it 1-1, and then Starr pops up with the goal for Watford, and then West Brom once again equalising 5 minutes later, the second of the game in 78th minute, which would ultimately win it for Watford. Very, very entertaining game. Loads of attacks and shots from both teams. Just a good game in general. Good from a neutral perspective.
Yeah, because I don't know, because Watford against West Brom, I've always had a draw written all over it. Because like that game back on the 8th of August, something like that, I think it was in the second week, though, I know that. You know, Ismail scored a brilliant goal, but West Brom absolutely dominated the game that day. You know, there were two different managers in charge at the time. But Watford were much better in this game, to be fair. João Pedro, excellent being the captain. Ismail Assar, you know, his influence on the team is always outstanding. Ken Semmer, he was brilliant yesterday with that late winner. But now, I think Jeb Wallace's goal, though, should have been ruled out for offside because he was in an offside position. But for some reason, the referees let the goal stand. What were your thoughts on that?
I didn't actually see the Jed Wallace goal, so I'll have to take your word for it. But I mean, the offside rule, if it's a very odd one. Sometimes it's benefited the attacker, sometimes benefited the defender. But when it was brought in, it was supposed to be the benefit of the attacker. So I suppose it has worked with benefit in this perspective. So
certainly, certainly. But I mean, if we look at the championship table, West Brom 10th, 4 points outside the playoffs. Watford back inside the playoffs. So Watford making steady progress indeed. On the same number of points as rivals, Luton. That's always interesting. But Watford needed that win, I think. Bilic needed a win like that, so fortunately enough, he got one. Let's move on to the next game then. Let's go back to Friday night. Cardiff City 1, Reading 0. Cardiff, another crucial win, and Sabri Lamouchi, the former Forest boss, really getting the right tunes out of these players now. What are your thoughts on that result for Cardiff?
That was a very nice goal to watch. Good 3 points for Cardiff. It's actually nice to see them start attacking, because previously, like under their past few bosses, they've like played more passive and not done much. But yeah, it's nice to see them play some nice, I think, attack. Reading is poor from them. They didn't nothing really all game. Gave Cardiff no pressure or anything.
Yeah.
I think obviously it's a good goal from Cardiff, good 3 points, but they need to be more clinical. They're aiming to stay up in the league. Yeah, good 3 points. That's it.
I mean, Cardiff City, they've been struggling. They had the transfer embargo, then obviously, as we all know, it got lifted. But like Cardiff and Reading in 2011, that game was a game between two sides that were fighting it out to get to the Premier League. I mean, Cardiff have been to the Premier League twice in that time. Reading have only been there once in that, since then. But I mean, in recent years, both sides have found it really difficult, in particular Cardiff. In particular Reading, to be fair, because they've been in the Championship a decade now. But, Reading are still 16th in the table. So they're not in any immediate danger because they're 10 clear of the drop zone. Now, it was a big game towards like the top end of the Championship. Millwall, Sheffield United. Tom Bradshaw, what a player. Hat trick boy. Millwall 3, Sheffield United 2. What are your thoughts?
I was very surprised to see Bradshaw get a hat trick, having watched him against Cov prior in this last game.
Yeah.
But yeah, like fair play. Sheffield United, I always thought they would fall off
Kofi
eventually. They always
won't.
do.
My mate Kofi will not be happy that you said that.
They always do though.
Yeah.
I think Middlesbrough will clinch that spot. Now I think Sheffield United will continue to be in like some a poor vein of form. Yeah, good result for Millwall, poor result for Sheffield United.
I mean, Millwall are outside the playoffs, but Gary Rowett's been there 3.5 years. It's like he's rebuilt his reputation because at Stoke, it didn't really work to plan when he was there. And even maybe at Derby, it was all right, but then he obviously left to go to Stoke down the A50, of course. But enough about my geography knowledge. But I mean, Gary Rowett is brilliant. He's building a team there. This team's quite strong, but sometimes it's always a question with Millwall. Do they have enough? Because I think Don Goodman, I was listening to him on the football show on Tuesday, and he was just saying that, maybe they might not have enough to get there. But it's going to be interesting, this playoff race, because you don't know who's going to get there. Like you said, Borough have all the momentum. We'll get onto them in a second. But Sunderland, Millwall, Blackburn, Norwich, West Brom and Coventry all have an equal chance of getting to those playoff places. So it's quite open this year, quite open. But let's get on to your team because I know you've been dying to talk about it. 2-0 win at Rotherham, what are your thoughts?
Victor Gyökeres is without a doubt the best striker in the championship. I don't care about all those people saying Tchoubarak Kpong. Yes, he scored more goals, but compare them as a player. Gyökeres is clear. He's younger as well. He's played for the Sweden national team on numerous occasions. He just takes games by the scruff of the neck and just does it all himself when he has to.
Course.
He's too good for this league. I am
Yeah.
flabbergasted how we've managed to keep him in January and the summer.
Yeah.
I'm so, like 25 million for him. Like that's a good value for him, I think. I'm surprised. Well, I'm not surprised Everton didn't pay it, but yeah, I'm happy they didn't.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was a game of two halves. Rotherham took the first half. They were. Did actually wear all over us in the first half. They were a good side, but second half we were too much for them. Mark Robins obviously said something to them at half time, worked his magic and sorted them out. Obviously scoring, not even a couple of seconds into the second half, sorry, and obviously in additional time, which is what we used to do all the time last season. It's nice to see.
Yeah. And obviously, no, obviously we were both at the game against Luton last week. And I mean, obviously it was a penalty from Godin that saved you. But I mean, it was good grit performance from Coventry, back-to-back wins, obviously, after the win against Millwall last midweek. But yeah,
Building some
Coventry,
momentum now.
yeah, building some momentum indeed. Three games unbeaten, three of the last five games you've won. One draw, one defeat. So all is looking good for the Sky Blues at the minute. Play up the Sky Blues. Let's move on to another game now. Let's move on to Borough, because Middlesbrough, they are the team that really have the momentum at the minute. 3-1 win at Sheffield United. Came from behind to do that. They were outstanding. And then a 3-1 win over QPR. And that spelt the end for Neil Critchley. More on that in a second. What are your thoughts on that?
I think solid win for Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
Obviously, Akpom getting two more goals for him. McGree scoring in additional time after Cher brought it back to 2-1. Obviously, McGree settled it down again. Yeah, QPR have has not been good with under Critchley. Critchley has been a very bad fit for them. Yeah, not worked out. I'm not surprised it hasn't worked out really. I didn't think it was a good fit anyways.
Me neither.
Yeah. Good 3 points for Middlesbrough, continuing the run to try and knock Sheffield United out of that automatics, which I think they will do. If they keep showing what they have, then no reason why not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like obviously QPR have sacked Neil Critchley now. One win in
They have, yeah.
12, one win, five draws, six defeats. But I mean, with QPR under Mick Beale, they started. You know, we the start of the season they were fantastic. You know, it was when Mick Beale started to get linked with like Wolves and then obviously Rangers, which he obviously left to go back to Rangers. It's just that's when the wheels started to fall off. They were on a poor run of form, you know. So it's been a bit toxic for a while at Loftus Road. Or the Kai and Prince Foundation Stadium, as it's now called. But I don't know, mate, what's happening with QPR at the minute. But it seems like the reports are saying that Gareth Ainsworth, the Wickham manager, and obviously you know had a photo with him back in November, is looking set to take over at QPR. Do you think that's a good appointment if it does go through?
See, it's hard to tell because he's been good for Wickham, but did he really show he was all that in the championship when he was with them up in here? It's tough to say. Like, I like Gareth Ainsworth. I
We all
think
do.
he is part of the furniture at Wickham now. Like, I can't see him leaving unless he gets sacked. If he does, I will be shocked, especially for QPR. Like, they're a bit of a basket case at the moment. Yeah, I think they should never have got rid of Warburton. It's their own wrongdoings that have caused the mess this season. Yeah, it's. I don't think Ainsworth will leave for them.
Well, I mean, QPR had many other options available. It was like Dean Smith was available. You know, there are many people who could have taken that job.
Yeah.
Dean Smith could have took it.
Yeah. It's.
Sometimes I hate it. It's like with Stoke. You know, when you always hear those stories that Stoke always like to steal other teams' managers. We've seen a lot of that in the last 3 or 4
Have done, yeah.
Yeah, it's like why do they have to go for that poach someone else's manager? I know people say Chris Wilder isn't always the most popular person in the world, but Wilder at least you know he's proven enough. I know it didn't start well from Borough, didn't work out well in the end. But you know, like I mean, Sheffield, sorry, him at Sheffield United, he was class, and at Northampton,
Yeah.
and I feel like you need someone like that, someone with that sort of experience. Ainsworth is obviously a very experienced manager now, but he's only had one season in the Championship. But with Wycombe Wanderers, they've been punching above their weight, and we'll talk more about Wycombe after their victory over Bolton a bit later on. But now, listen, they've been magnificent under Gareth Ainsworth, and he deserves a whole lot of praise because he's tactically he's just always spot on. But anyway, let's move on from QPR. Let's go to Luton nil, Burnley one. What are your thoughts on that? Because Burnley, wow, I think even before Easter, they're going to wrap up promotion to the Premier League at this rate. They are a massive 15 points ahead of Middlesbrough in third place, 15 points clear of the playoffs. It's inevitable now. They're going to go back to the Premier League, aren't they?
It's just a matter of time. Like everyone really thought Burnley were going to go up anyway. It's they're already there pretty much. I think all they need to do is just not let it get to their heads, and they should be fine because they're there. The players they have in that squad. They have Scott Twine on the bench, Obafemi on the bench, Zaruri off on the bench. Like they have all these players on the bench, and it's like they'd get into every other team's in the league's starting lineups without a doubt.
Of course.
So they have the strength and depth. They're a Premier League team playing the Championship at the moment.
Listen, he's one of the best managers around in the league. He's the best manager in the league. Burnley have got the best team in the league. You've got to not lie about that. Burnley have been excellent. Haven't lost a game since. Go on.
I wouldn't say company's the best manager in the league. He has been given a lot of money and a squad that's more than capable already. Give it time before we start obviously rating him highly. Because remember Frank Lampard at Derby?
Oh yeah, in 2018-19.
It's tough. He has done a good job, but you can't rate him yet, I don't think. You can't like say he's good, he's bad. He's just wanna give it more time, then judge him.
Yeah. This company, let's not forget, he's made a real impact at Burnley. Change of style, That's why we named the Brexit Leagues podcast, because of Brexit Ball. But I mean, listen, Vincent Kompany is he's a good manager, though. He's been brilliant, It's sort of been like a quick fix for them, if you like, and they're definitely on their way back to the Premier League. That's for sure. But Burnley's next match is against Millwall on Tuesday night, tonight. So that'll be interesting. So it'll be out. It'll be out before this. The game will be after this podcast is released. But that's going to be an interesting one there. Let's get on to the next game. We're not going to talk about every game in detail, but let's have a look at what was it? Huddersfield against Birmingham. Neil Warnock is back at Huddersfield. He's back in management. Started life back at Huddersfield. 2-1 victory over Birmingham City. What are your thoughts on Neil Warnock's return?
I think it's good to see him back. What is football without him?
I know.
It was obviously he can't stay in retirement. He was obviously always going to come back at some point. And he's come back, got the 3 points. My mate who's a Birmingham fan said he wasn't happy with it. It's Neil Warnock, isn't it? Like, good to see him back. Good 3 points for
Oh.
Huddersfield. Bad loss. Birmingham, they could be in trouble potentially. Their form has nosedived. They are
Yeah.
7 points out of the relegation spots, but all three teams in the relegation spots have the same amount of points. So any one of them picks up form, bang, they're up there. Maybe all three could. I don't think Wigan will, but potentially. But Huddersfield and Blackpool. Yeah. Birmingham just need to reach, I think they need to reach 40, 44 points. I reckon that will be the goal for this season to stay up. Because usually it's about 50, but don't know.
We've just got a season, but like at the start of the season, don't get me wrong, the three teams I had down, Birmingham, Rotherham, Reading. Well, Rotherham at the bottom, then Birmingham, then Reading, you know, because of what was going on with especially Reading and Birmingham City. But I mean, Birmingham City won't go down, I can assure you of that. They won't. But it's going to be interesting to see whether Rotherham and Reading go down.
It will be, yeah, it will be.
One of my mates. Do you want to witness as well? Yeah. Sorry, my dad came in. But yeah, I mean, Birmingham, Rotherham, Reading, those are the three teams I had to go down to League One. But I think Birmingham under Eustace, they've been fine. Yeah, John Eustace has done a brilliant job. He's a local boy from Solihull. But nah, listen, I think Birmingham do stay in the Championship and so do Reading. But Rotherham, I think they will go. I think Rotherham will go down with Blackpool. And I hate to, and well, and Wigan. Blackpool, Wigan, Rotherham, those three.
So, you know, at the start of the season,
Yeah.
I did have Sunderland going down.
Oh, Nathan Hardwick will not be impressed.
Obviously, I think I made that before any transfer business had been made.
Yeah.
And obviously, I did watch them in the playoff final last year, and I got to say, I was not impressed.
When they went up.
Yeah. With them just in general, I don't think they played that well. But yeah, they've proved me wrong this season. But I did have Wigan and Huddersfield in there. Rotherham just above them. Yes. I raised my hands up. I got that Sunderland miles wrong. But now, of course, with how it is now, I can see obviously Wigan, which I think they're not good enough at all.
Yeah.
Potentially Blackpool, and I want to say Cardiff.
Think Cardiff have picked up a lot of point, picked up 6 points recently, which they so badly needed. Honestly. They so badly needed that po those points. But we're not even going to talk about Preston because they're so boring to watch. We're not going to talk about Wigan because they're so boring to watch. Honestly, I hate it when teams like Preston, no offense to any Preston fans watching this, sorry, but I hate it. I hate seeing your team on Sky Sports or Wigan or Blackburn because I'm like, oh God, we're going to be in for another boring game then, aren't we?
Or Swansea.
Oh yeah, possession. Let's just walk through the other results. Blackpool, crucial win against Stoke there. Also Blackburn beat Swansea. Hull City, Preston, 0-0. That's why I said Preston were boring. Sunderland won, Bristol City won. Oh yeah, and guess what? Bristol City finally got a penalty. That took a while. Wigan nil, Norwich nil. Unbeaten under Sean Maloney, club legend, of course. There, let's go on to the midweek championship predictions because we've got five games on the way in the Sky Bet Championship this weekend. This weekend, this midweek, tonight. Blackburn against Blackpool. What are your thoughts on that one?
2-1 Blackburn.
Okay, Norwich against Birmingham City.
No.
Oh, Swansea versus Stoke.
1-0, and Swansea have 73% possession.
1-0 to Swansea.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that won't be a surprise if they have 73% possession. They actually dominate every game. Millwall against Burnley.
2-1 Burnley.
Okay. Rotherham Sunderland.
One nil Sunderland.
That is going to be some interesting predictions there. I mean, Sunderland are brilliant. Let's have before we move on to or before we get to the break, and obviously leagues one and two. We start with Burnley at the top, Sheffield United in second, Middlesbrough third, Luton Town sitting fourth, Watford are. I don't know what happened there. But I don't know what happened there. Technical fault. Oh shit. Technical fault, sorry.
That's fine, that's fine.
I don't know if it's still recording. Let's see what the end. Let's see how far the recording takes us. I think oh no, I think we'll be fine. But sorry everyone about that technical fault. My internet is really crap. But like we're looking Sunderland in sixth, Millwall, Blackburn and Norwich and West Brom all and Coventry all outside the playoff places. So you never know. You just never know with the championship. That is the absolute beauty of it. It's just a brilliant league.
It's one of the most entertaining leagues.
Best second tier league in world football. Fact. You know,
Definitely.
definitely. But anyway, join us after the break when we'll be talking about Skybet League One and League Two. And yeah, that'll be the end of this show. See you after this short break. Welcome back to the Brexit Leagues. Sorry again, the internet issues. We've had a lot of problems with those. But let's move on to the final part of the Brexit Leagues because today we're going to talk about League One and League Two, but also we're going to talk about players that need to leave each of the 20 Premier League clubs. So, yeah, let's have a quick run through League One and League Two then. Let's start with the game between Sheffield Wednesday and MK Dons. Sheffield Wednesday 5, MK Dons 2. Cheltenham nil, Barnsley 4. Lincoln nil, Portsmouth nil. Plymouth nil, Fleetwood nil, Accrington 1, Shrewsbury nil, Derby 2, Charlton Athletic nil, Bristol Rovers 1, Burton Albion 2, Cambridge 1, Oxford nil, Port Vale 1, Exeter nil, Ipswich 4, Forest Green nil, Morecambe nil, Peterborough 3, and Wickham got a crucial win over Bolton, who have renamed their stadium to the Tough Sheet Community Stadium, which is a bit of a shit name, if you ask me. So what does it do to the League One table? Now, after Plymouth's drop points against Fleetwood, it means Sheffield Wednesday are now leading League One with a game in hand, and they look set, like you said a few weeks ago, to win the league. There's still a long way to go, of course. Still 45 points to play for. Ipswich have moved up to third, Bolton fourth, Derby fifth, and Barnsley making up the playoff places with Wickham and Shrewsbury behind, but Shrewsbury costly defeat that was for them at Accrington. Dents their playoff hopes. MK Dons, Cambridge, Morecambe, and Forest Green make up the bottom four. On to League Two. Leighton Orient moved a step closer to promotion after that 1-0 win over Crawley. Carlisle 1, Colchester 0. Stockport 2, Stevenage 0. Dents their automatic promotion charge. Gillingham got a 2-0 win at struggling Rochdale. Wimbledon threw a 2-goal lead against lowly Hartlepool. Sutton 2, Doncaster 0. Tranmere 0, Mansfield 2. Bradford lost ground in the playoff places. Lost 1-0 to Barrow. Walsall 1, Newport 1. Harrogate 2, Crewe 2. Salford 1, Swindon 2. And Northampton also lost ground in the top two after that 2-1 loss to Grimsby Town. What does this mean for League 2? Well, Leighton Orient are first in League 2. Stevenage second. Carlisle make up the automatic promotion places. Northampton 3 points behind, but they have been dropping a lot of points recently. 4 games without a win now, drawing 3 of them and losing that one, obviously, to Grimsby. So it's been poor form for them all around. Mansfield, Stockport and Salford make up the playoff places. Bradford a point behind, having played 2 games less than Salford. Sutton United have come out of nowhere and they are doing well. Doncaster Rovers as well. Let's not forget them. And the bottom two are Crawley and Rochdale. Now, after that roundup of Skybet League 2, let's have a look at players who need to leave each Premier League club. Ethan, let's start. Arsenal.
I think Emile Smith Rowe, purely for himself.
Right.
He needs more game time and he needs to be the star player, I reckon.
Right. I mean, I wasn't too sure on that one, actually. I was thinking more.
Kieran Tierney?
No, no. Mohamed Elneny.
Oh.
It's been there a while. Yeah. It's been there a while. And I think you need to change. Anyway, Aston Villa.
Gone with Callum Chambers.
Why do you think that?
So, he's only recently joined yet, but he's already fallen out of favour. And it's both parties would have hoped for better, but it's just not worked out.
I mean, I was thinking the Camber.
Maybe.
Obviously, I want him to do well as a Zimbabwean player. I'm from Zimbabwe myself. But I feel like the Camber needs to leave Villa. Anyway, on to Bournemouth. You've gone for Sarika Dembele. Why is that?
So I've gone for Sarika Dembele because he was signed in the Championship potentially breakthrough and stuff.
For Peterborough.
And he hasn't done anything for them. He hasn't had the chance to do anything for them. So for it to work out better for him and for it to work out better for Bournemouth, he does need to make that permanent move away as he is out on loan at the moment.
Brentford.
I went with David Raya. He's getting, according to the media, he's getting some attitude problems, isn't he?
So, yeah, like, yeah. Rejected the contract.
And then do you want to keep the positive attitude and environment around the club?
Because, I mean, he's been so crucial to why Brentford have got to the Premier League in this last 3.5 years, you know, since that 1920 season when he signed. But I think, you know, his attitude has let him down a bit recently, to be fair. You're not wrong there. Brighton and Hove Albion, you've gone for Dennis Undav. Why is that?
So I've gone with Undav because he seems void of confidence at the moment. I think this can either be a loan or a permanent. I think permanent's more beneficial for him. I think he either needs to go back to Belgium or drop down to the Championship. He just needs that run of games where he just scores a couple of goals. Because people have seen what he can do. Like 40 goal involvements last season. Seems to have lost confidence somehow.
Exactly. Chelsea. This is an interesting one. You've got Raheem Sterling.
I've gone with Raheem Sterling because I don't think it's a good fit at all. I think he needs to play in a team which suits his directness and trickery.
Yeah.
And it seemed like an odd move from the off, in my opinion, because he's not going to be their main man. They've played him wing back. He needs to be in a team where he is star man. I think he needs to go probably somewhere like Inter Milan or Borussia Dortmund, I think.
That's what we mentioned the other day when we were talking about it, about having
Yeah.
this segment. But I mean, he moved what, 47.5 million pounds, something
Yeah.
like that. But it's not really worked out from at Chelsea. So in all due respect, I totally agree. Palace, you've gone Jairo Redewald.
I think he's just not had any game time, has he? He's just needs to move away, really, for to benefit his career.
It's been there a while though, to be fair, so
Yeah.
I can see what you what why you're saying that. Everton, you've gone Pickford.
I've gone with Pickford because he needs to go to a better club, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like, if he has aspirations to continue being England's number one, he needs to move up because Nick Pope, he is performing like he is massively performing years. So what he needs to do is follow in his footsteps and move up. So I reckon maybe he could go to like
Aston Villa,
no. No.
Tottenham.
I think he should go to Leicester
Oh.
because they're in need of a goalkeeper. I think, obviously, I don't think they will, but if they keep a hold of Maddison and Tielemans, and then they obviously sign a couple more players, they could be well in the mix again, which
Yeah.
is why I say Leicester. And then if that doesn't work out, obviously he could have a release clause in his contract, then move on up again.
Yeah. Of
So,
course. With Fulham, you've gone for Rodak, Marek Rodak. Why is that?
he seems undervalued. So he'll get given time in the championship, he'll have a
Yeah.
good season, and then they'll just sign a new goalkeeper. It's like last time it was Areola. This time it was Leno.
Leno, yeah.
It seems like he's not trusted and he's overlooked. So I think he deserves a move away to somewhere where he will get seen for the player he is.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Leno's been performing well this season. He's been brilliant, but yeah, now Rodak, now not really enough for the Premier League. Leeds. Oh, this is an interesting one. Bamford, Patrick Bamford.
I think he's a bit of a one-season wonder, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like,
He struggles with
obviously,
injuries.
he does. Obviously, he has. He speaks quite a few languages, so I think he needs to move away from England, move to like abroad, recapture some confidence, get some new playing experience, and yeah, maybe come back to England a bit later on.
Of course. I mean, he's been good for Leeds. He was good. He was integral to why they got to the Premier League 2.5 years ago. But I mean, it's just not really worked out for him well recently because of the injuries. Simple as. So he's struggled in that. In that respect. But on to Leicester, you've gone for James Maddison, and he was linked with Newcastle and Tottenham in the summer and Arsenal.
Yeah, he's just too good for them. He needs to be at a top club. He is a top player. Like, I'm surprised he managed to keep a hold of him. Yeah. He just needs to be at a bigger club. He is too good for them. Like, I think he should probably go to, I reckon,
To where?
Newcastle.
But would Leicester be willing to sell to a direct rival like that?
They're not direct rivals anymore.
But I mean, he'll be crucial in part
And
of
money
as
talks.
yeah, because obviously Tottenham need a player like James Maddison. Tottenham are quite weak when it comes to that. So he could benefit if he was at Tottenham or if he was at, or if he was, like you say, at Newcastle United.
Yeah.
Liverpool, you've gone for Matip.
I've gone for Matip because he is overlooked in that Liverpool team. He doesn't get the game time he deserves. He is a solid centre half. I don't know whether that's because of Van Dijk, but yeah, he just needs more time on the pitch. He does. He's a very good centre back, very assured. I like watching him play.
Yeah, exactly that. And Matip, I mean, again, and that, like Bamford, he struggled with injuries as well. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him in the summer. People say Naby Keita, I think, could leave in the summer. I think it's a real possibility. But Manchester City, you've gone with John Stones. John Stones, why is that?
Similar reasons to Matip. He's a very assured defender.
Yeah.
Needs more time on the pitch. Overlooked. But that's because Man City do have some solid centre backs in Laporte and Ruben Dias.
Yeah.
Whereas at Liverpool, they only have Van Dijk. So it's easier to see with Stones why he's not picked. But yeah, he needs to move away.
Yeah, because I mean, City have the strength and depth. Don't get me wrong, City have the strength and depth, and it's hard to get into that Manchester City team. It's hard for Pep Guardiola to like pick his side. But I'm on to United now. You've gone Brandon Williams.
Yeah, his development's not been as swift as their first thought. He needs to drop down the league. He's not good enough for Premier League, as seen with his Norwich loan spell
I
last
mean, Norwich
season.
are the worst team in the Premier League every time
They
they come
were,
up.
and he contributed to that though, didn't he? And when he's played for United, he's not exactly shown quality. I don't think he's made an appearance for you this season, has he?
No, he hasn't.
Yeah, he just needs to move away. He's not good enough, and I don't think he will be good enough.
On to Newcastle United then. I disagree with this one, actually. You'll be surprised. I thought Jamal Lascelles at first you were going to put down, but you've gone Ryan Fraser. Why is that?
So I've gone Ryan Fraser because I was toying with going with Jamal Lascelles, he just is Newcastle, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's still their club captain and stuff, so he doesn't need to move away. Whereas Ryan Fraser, this move is just not, like, I don't know. He's just needs to refine the player he was. I think, similar to Undav, I think he needs to drop down a league to come back up. Because he's just needs to refine himself.
He's a quality player, though.
He is, yeah. He just needs his confidence back.
Of course. Of course. I mean, Newcastle are obviously going to get rid of all these players at some point, so
Yeah.
you never really know about that. Forest. Oh, there are many candidates for Nottingham Forest. I would have gone Lyle Taylor, Cafu, and actually Lewis O'Brien as well. But you've gone O'Brien. What's your thoughts actually on those three?
He's unhappy at the club. Like, he wanted a loan spell away. like he actively wants to leave. He is a top player at championship level.
Yes, definitely.
I think he could do with a loan spell away, maybe like a clause to buy or something in there if
Yeah.
he's not got a future at Forest. But yeah, he needs game time.
Oh, certainly. Certainly, you know, because with like Lyle and like Cafu, they've not had game time. Lewis O'Brien hasn't had much game time either. So I think Blackburn were linked with him on deadline day.
They were they had a I think they had a deal that was ready and all sorted, but I think Blackburn pulled out, didn't they? And
Think they did.
then I think Sheffield United were toying with it, but they had obviously had their embargo, didn't they? So they couldn't do anything about it.
Of course. But let's go on to Southampton because you've gone with someone we mentioned earlier in the program, earlier in the podcast, James Ward-Prowse. What are your thoughts on that?
So, I think Southampton are going to go down.
Yeah.
He's already cemented his Southampton legacy, and
Come through the academy.
I think he just needs to make that move away to sort of create his own legacy for himself. So rather than just being, oh, that guy who was good at free kicks at Southampton, I think he needs that guy that's done more to move on to better things.
Oh, yeah, very true. Very true. I mean, Saints have not had a great season, but Ward-Prowse has always been a highlight. Nigel Adkins, 10 years ago, 10 and a half years ago now, Nigel Adkins gave him his debut. It was Nigel Adkins who developed him, and he was the one who got him playing. So, yeah, Ward-Prowse, Southampton legend, of course he is. Definitely. Tottenham. I mean, we've totally forgotten who Tanguy Ndombele is, but you've gone for Tanganga.
Gone for Tanganga because it's similar to Brandon Williams.
Yeah.
He is a better player, he's not good enough. Broke through quickly. Don't think Conte really rates him. Yeah, just needs to move away, really. Start somewhere anew.
Yeah, I mean, like Nuno gave him this chance whilst he was in charge of Spurs, of course. But I can't see him doing much more for Tottenham Hotspur, if I'm going to be totally honest. Two more clubs to go. West Ham, Lanzini.
Gone with Lanzini because
It's been there a long time.
he's been there a very long time.
Yeah.
He's been a very good servant to them. And I think it's about time to part ways. He's fallen out of pecking order, really. He's not had many games played. I think maybe move back to Argentina. Go finish out his playing days over there. Obviously, he's not like close to retirement yet, but couple years' time, maybe. Yeah, I think maybe go finish himself off in Argentina.
Okay, I mean, Lanzini, if there's ever one goal we'll never forget, it's that goal against Tottenham 2 years ago. That
Very good goal.
I remember watching it and just going absolutely berserk because, I mean, what a goal it was. He was in it. He's a good player though, Lanzini, but I think after 7.5 years, I think it's time for him to pastures new. Right, Wolverhampton Wanderers, lastly, of course, the bottom of the pack, Raul Jimenez.
I really like Raúl Jiménez. I think before his injury, he was a quality player.
Yeah, certainly.
He's just since it, he's just lost his killer instinct. He's not been the same animal. Like, I think it's so sad to see. It's because he was such a good player. But I think he'll have to move abroad. I think he'd have to go Spain or Mexico, I reckon. Yeah, he just needs, I don't know, he's, I don't know, like he's, I don't think he'll ever get anywhere close to the player he was. It's really a shame because he could have been such a good player.
Certainly. I mean, Jimenez was, especially that first couple of seasons with Wolves finishing seventh. Jimenez was brilliant. I think, the Europa League one, he was crucial in it because he was feasting on goals. But I think Wolves, the last couple of years, have struggled to put the ball into the net. Wolves, the problem is with Wolves, they don't score enough goals. And I'm sure Lopetegui, he's had an impact already. I'm sure he'll try his best, to rectify that as much as he can.
Yeah, you look at Jimenez's drop off, like it's horrible to see.
Of
It's
course.
horrible. Like first two seasons, 13 goals, 7 assists in the league, 17 goals, 6 assists in the league. Then he had 4 goals obviously before the injury. And then he came back and he was not the same and you could tell. And this season, no goal involvements in 8 matches. I don't think he started a match, has he?
I think you started a couple, but not many.
Yeah, it's a shame to see. It's a shame to see.
But him and there's I think his contract's running out anyway. So
Yeah.
I think you are right. There's a distinct possibility of him moving on this summer, maybe Neves as well. So you just
Yeah.
never know what's going to come Wolverhampton Wanderers way. But anyway, that is it for the Brexit Leagues this week. Join us next week for another episode of the Brexit Leagues, where hopefully we'll have some guests. Until then, take care. Bye-bye.